Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And my name is Julie Douglas.
We just finished recording an episode titled How to Think Like a Child. And now we're breaking into this idea that we are all scientists. And you're probably wondering, well, why are you guys hitting this information right now? And certainly we've touched on some of these topics before in the past. And it's because we're hitting the road with this act. 1 week from now, the time we're recording it, we're going to be at the E4 conference, Excellence in Elementary Engineering, in the Twin Cities. And we're going to give a keynote, and we're going to talk about this idea that we are all scientists, because we're going to be talking to elementary school teachers who want to engage with children and get them excited about science and engineering. And there's often this false idea that it's something alien to them, where it's kind of like, let's get some children into a room and let's teach them to love sardines and broccoli. You know, let's get them excited about asparagus. But no, it's something that they already have in them. And it's ultimately more about connecting with the inner scientist that is in all of us.
Right. We're going to make the case today that science is not a part of us. It is actually intrinsic to our nature. And I will say that having worked on this podcast, I feel like it's very interesting to look at science as something that is innate rather than, as I've mentioned before, looking through the windows of science. Because I feel like this podcast has really informed my worldview on how it's not apart from us, how every gesture, word, thought can be pinned back to what, you know, we've often talked about, the magic of reality. Yeah. And when I say the magic of reality, it's this idea that a single-celled organism created an unbroken lineage extending forth in time 4 billion years until we are sitting here before you guys recording our voices. To me, that is amazing, and it all points back to the fact that science has helped frame our understanding of how we came to be in this world, as well as why things are the way that they are.
So as we discussed in the previous podcast about thinking like a child, one of the big things here is that as we get older and as we become adults, we take on all these different worldviews. We take on all these preconceived notions of what the world is and how it works, about who we are, how do we fit into the world, what is our group, what is our society, who are the others, what laws are in place that we're obeying, what laws are in place that we're neglecting, what laws are in place that the other guys and gals out there should be obeying but are not. All these complex, illusory ideas, we end up building this fortress of ideas through which we try to understand the world around us.
And we use a lot of labels, right?
Right.
Like, you begin to understand yourself as you're growing up, right? And you, people say that you're good at X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
And then
you're a liberal, you're a conservative, you're in the middle,
right.
you're a creative or number-minded, you're very sensible, you know, we end up taking on all these labels, pinning them to our jacket, and that's who we are, and that's what the world is.
Now, but I would argue that in addition to what other label or the many labels that we can put on ourselves, we are all inherently engineers.
Right.
Okay. Now, think, you're probably like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't use blueprints, or maybe I do use blueprints, but
I don't build things.
I don't design things. Yeah. But no, think about your childhood and think about tree houses or building. You don't have to build a tree house. It could be
Legos. Think of all the things that if you're a Lego person like I was, and I am not an engineer. Like, I have to check things two or three times when I do simple calculations with a Google calculator. You know, I'm that type of person. I'm more of a liberal arts person. But as a child, I had the vat of Legos and I'd build everything under the sun. You know, I'd see a helicopter. I'd have to build that helicopter. Then I'd have to crash the helicopter. Because it was shot down by another one that was the evil helicopter. But then I would build another one, and then it would be maybe I'd build a building or a tank. I mean, so even as a child playing with blocks, or even if we're not playing with actual physical blocks, we're building things, we're building stories, we're building ideas, we're engineering something when we are engaging in play.
Well, you're also learning how the world works, how gravity works, right?
Right.
If you don't stack those blocks in a way that can support the weight, then whatever you're creating is going to fall. Or just not work out so great.
Every kid
for you.
Wants to build a giant tower, but you quickly learn that you got to figure out how the base is going to work. You got to build a broader base to make the tower go up all the way. Otherwise, it's just going to be blocks falling over and making a loud noise.
Yeah, I see that. I've seen this so many times with kids.
Yeah.
And kids can, by the way, with Legos. And I know everybody knows this, but really, they can create some of the most. Some of the coolest, most innovative buildings I've ever seen because they will take these risks and put things where they're not really supposed to go. But then, they figure out how things are weighted. So, again, we don't think about it, but this is really the mind of an engineer at play. And, by the way, kids are also born Euclideans. So when I say kids are this, that also means that we are Euclideans. And when I say Euclideans, I mean that we use geometric clues to navigate the world.
Because, yeah, bottom line, we are born into a world of numerous fixed and movable objects. We live in a world of space and time. As a creature, you know, if you're a human and you're listening to this, this applies to you. If you're a cat and you're listening to this, or a dog, this applies to you. And kudos for understanding an English language podcast. But you have to engage in this world that is physical, that has space, that has time, that has physical laws governing what goes on. So part of our evolutionary advantage is our ability to understand that world and interact with it. And to do that, we have to have a certain amount of number sense, a certain understanding of how physics work, more or less inborn. We've discussed in the past there are concepts such as, say, teleportation. You try and and sell a kid on the idea that teleportation exists, they're not going to believe it because they already have it in them, in themselves. They are inborn. This disbelief in the idea that that could even be possible because it doesn't conform to reality. To believe in something like that, you have to painstakingly build this fortress of ideas and beliefs as an adult, and then you can make the impossible seem plausible.
Right, because even little babies know about object permanence,
right.
Meaning that I could have two cups. In one cup, I could deposit two cookies. In another cup, I could pretend to be depositing cookies. Same motions and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They will always want the one with the actual cookies in it. They understand that that is mimicking, that is not object permanence. In addition, kids using geometric clues, they're more likely to use the lengths of walls in a room to remember where a toy is hidden. And this is true of kids even at ages 3 and 4 when they can name the color of the wall to orient themselves. They still navigate rooms by length references. I also see this with my daughter at play with puzzles. You know, she'll be 4 in January. And she loves to put together puzzles using solely the shape. Now, she can read, and she can use the colors to try to piece together the clues of how they fit together. But always, and this drives me crazy, because to me, I'm oriented in the other way, where I'm like, hey, that's part of the, you know, North Carolina for the map. She will always try to see how it fits together. And this is really interesting. Kids that play with puzzles between the ages of 2 and 4 perform significantly better in spatial tests by ages 5 and 6. And again, this is this idea that they can mentally transform shapes. And this turns out to be a really big predictor of abilities in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, what we call STEM.
Another inborn ability that kids have that adults forget and then have to relearn is Bayesian logic. Bayesian logic is a branch of probability theory that allows one to model uncertainty about the world and outcomes of interest in that world related to common sense knowledge and observational evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a concept that plays heavily into statistical evaluation of things such as ongoing elections, et cetera, any kind of situation where there's a certain degree of chaos or unpredictability. It's also something that is key to our creation of AIs, of artificial intelligence, because we want to create something that thinks intelligently and can analyze the world and create believable recommendations on what's going to happen. So we're using Bayesian logic to create the machines that will solve the problems of the future, but Bayesian logic is already present in children. Experiments have shown that when a child looks at the world, they're able to weigh the observational data and the statistical data that they have observed in a way that is free of the conflicting judgments that adult humans bring to the table.
Yeah, I mean, much like looking at a puzzle and seeing what fits and what doesn't, Bayesian logic necessitates that children use a pattern of covariation. Covariation meaning correlated variation of two or more variables. And we talked about this Blickett machine in the last podcast, How to Think Like a Child. And this Blickett machine is something that is lit up when you place an object on it. This object can be various shapes, sizes, colors. And kids will, again, use this covariation, correlated variation of two or more variables, to realize that if they do this, then this happens.
Mm-hmm.
If they do that, then that happens. Now, by the way, these objects aren't static, meaning that, it's not just the red squares that make the machine go. You know, it could be the orange squares that have blue dots on them, or the triangle, and so on and so forth. So they are taking in a lot of data and trying to figure out, you know, like these three types of shapes that are this color, mm-hmm. and this configuration stacked on top will make this machine go. That's actually pretty sophisticated. And as we mentioned last time in our podcast in How to Think Like a Child, kids are actually better in this exercise of figuring out how certain toys work on the Blickett machine than adults are.
Which brings us to mathematics. And this is a big one. As adults, so many of us, myself included, throw any kind of thing mathematical at us, being it figuring out how to split a bill at a dinner party or trying to figure out, I've got it down now, but for a while there, I didn't even understand how to properly figure tip before I figured out just do 20%. I'm generally that bad at math. And so we often fall into this idea that we're born bad at math and that we just simply fail to learn it. And certainly, there's a whole case to be made about what needs to be done to engage children, engage students more thoroughly in mathematics.
But, and I do want to mention, too, that there is no gender difference in abilities in science and math.
Right.
And this has been something, a subject that comes up again and again. But if you want more information on it, check out Elizabeth Spelke, S-P-E-L-K-E, and her debate with Steven Pinker on this point, and the 30-odd years of research into child development in which she makes the case that this does not exist. This is some cultural garbage that we tend to heap on kids.
Because, again, we all have to interact with the same world. We're all organisms that have all the equipment to interact with that world, and part of that is a number sense, okay? So our brains naturally extract numbers from the surrounding environment in the same way that we identify colors, all right? We call it number sense, and our brains come fully equipped with it from birth. In fact, studies even show that while infants have no grasp of human number system, you know, an infant doesn't know what 5 is, doesn't know what 10 is, but they can tell the difference between 5 and 10 on a non-numerical level because they can tell, identify a change in quantity. Show a kid 5 cookies and a kid 10 cookies, and they will know the difference. There is an inborn math that governs that kind of quantity differential.
Yeah, they are essentially born accountants, and you'll see this with babies who can estimate quantities and distinguish between more and less, for instance, in an experiment in which babies were shown an array of 4 dots
mm-hmm.
and then an array of 12 dots. Turns out that they will pay attention to the 4-dot sequence when 4 sounds are played,
mm-hmm.
okay, correlating that, and they will gaze at the 12 dots when 12 sounds are played, even when the sounds are manipulated in terms of the note length. The kids still know, babies still know that 12-noted song has to do with the 12 dots and that 4-noted song has to do with the 4 dots.
Yeah, we can even drag in neuroimaging research into it, and we found that when you look at an infant's brain, when they're, say, looking at the 5-cookie, 10-cookie difference, they're actually engaging in logarithmic counting, all right, counting based on integral increases in physical quantity.
And this is so cool. Apparently, this is something that we move away from as we get older, this logarithmic thinking, because we think in different modes of mathematics. But again, root to the baby, root to children, is this logarithmic thinking.
So we end up taking on human number systems. But the thing is, again, the human number systems are, even this is not something that's coming from the outside. It's something that's coming from within. At some point in our ancient past, prehistoric humans began to develop a means of augmenting their natural number sense, all right? They started counting on their fingers and toes, and that's why so many numerical systems depend on groups of 5, 10, or 20. So base 10 or decimal systems stem from the use of both hands, while base 20 or vigesimal systems are based on the use of fingers and toes.
Yeah, these vigesimal systems, I think, are really interesting. Larger numbers are simply multiples of 10, right? Because that would be a base of 10 system. For example, 10 tens make 100. And we're so used to our base 10 system that it may seem like the only possibility, but the Greenlandic number system has a base of 20, and others have a base of 5. And of all the number systems ever invented, 5, 10, and 20 are the most common. So again, if you doubt that mathematics is something that is inherent to you, all you have to do is look down at your fingers. In fact, in Greenland, the word for 7, which is pronounced Arfinek Marluk, or something like that, translates as second hand too.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so you put one hand up and then two fingers from the next hand. And then 13 is translated as first foot 3, meaning both of your hands plus your first foot, 3 toes. So, again, our digits, our fingers, just even think about the terminology, have been the gold standard for how we itemize the world around us.
All right, we're going to take a quick break on that note. And when we come back, we're going to shift a little outside of the mathematical understanding of the world, and we're going to get into a little something called storytelling.
Because, believe it or not, storytelling is science.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, before we move on to storytellers, I was just reminded, as you were talking in the sponsored message, about mathematics and certain truths that they hold. And I was thinking about the Fibonacci numbers, which is that sequence of numbers, the golden ratio, that we see again and again in nature.
Yeah, it's like in a snail shell. It's in some cauliflower. You see this mathematical truth making itself evident just throughout the world and in the cosmos.
And on your body, right? Mm-hmm. Because even the ratio between your hand, the length of your hand and the length of your arm, and the length of your arms to the height of your body, or even the space between your eyes and your nose and your mouth, these are all predicated on the golden ratio. So again, inherent within the blueprint are numbers.
Yeah. We have in a past episode we did about mathematics, we asked the question, is mathematics a human discovery or a human invention? Where we really go into the philosophical deep end about this, because it's really a fascinating question. Again, mathematics, as we've discussed, is something that comes from within. But is it something that is purely a human creation based on what is inside us? Or is it something that really permeates every aspect of the universe?
Right. Is it the tail wagging the dog?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really mind-blowing stuff. But we're moving a little beyond mathematics at this point, and we're getting into something called storytelling. Storytelling is, of course, as old as human language. The idea that we can sit down and we can tell a narrative, that we can talk about this character and what they did, or these people and what they did, what challenge they overcame, how they came from point A to point B. And we naturally engage in it because stories are linear. They have beginnings, they have middles, and they have ends. Much like our lives, exactly like our lives, and exactly like our experience of the world around us. So we naturally engage with stories.
Well, and within this, I think about the neocortex, this part of our brains that was lopped on is pretty much an upgrade to the human brain.
Ice cream style.
Ice cream style, swirled up high. It changed everything because no longer did we have just our reptilian brain, which was really concerned or is concerned with basic survival instincts like fear. But with the neocortex, you have something that can manage so many different sophisticated complex elements of life, of modern life, from parenting to higher cognitive functions like number systems and the parietal lobe, which governs these number systems, and abstraction. So when I think about number systems, I think about abstractions because really that's what they are. Mm-hmm. And these abstractions are stories, and these stories really are data. We're taking data, we're organizing it, and we're making it into a pattern that makes sense to us that can help explain our world. So when you think about storytelling, you don't normally think about it as involving science, but really you're talking about some of the same basic principles at play.
So again, storytelling is how we see the world. I mean, on a very basic level, I've talked about this before, and this is where especially adults get into trouble. And no, I mean, even in an early age, you're engaging with your ego. You're creating a story about the world in which you are the central character. And so everyone's life, unless you can force yourself to think beyond it, after a while it becomes this very limited novel with this one character engaging with other people, with their surroundings, with various successes and disasters that line the road to death.
It's nice.
An elegant and an uplifting way of putting it. But I mean, that's what comes when you end up viewing the world that way. But we end up viewing the world that way. So telling other stories ends up being this interesting way of tweaking that worldview in a way that can be both good and bad. There's a book called Tell to Win, Connect, Persuade, and Triumph with the Hidden Power of Story by film executive Peter Guber. And he makes this argument that stories function as Trojan horses. All right, we all know the idea of the Trojan horse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have the city of Troy. The opposing army wants to get inside that besieged city. So how do you do it? You give them a gift, a fabulous wooden horse. Hidden away in that horse's belly happens to be a small group of soldiers. And after the lights go off, after the sun goes down, they're going to creep out of the belly of that horse, unlock the gates, and let the rest of the army in. So the idea here is that, and we've discussed this about the power of storytelling before, you know, when you have a story that contains a different idea, a different way of seeing the world, it can kind of virally infect our worldview. And we end up trusting an idea more if it's presented to us in the form of a story, which is why you see we've talked about the importance of sitcoms just in popular history,
mm-hmm.
or novels as well. When you engage a new cultural idea in the form of a narrative, we're more likely to take it in, to eat it, than we are if someone says, hey, here's a way you should maybe view the world. Why don't you do this? And then people are going to double down. They're going to say, no, that's not the way I view the world at all. Present in a story, however, that's the spoonful of sugar on the medicine.
Yeah, but I would actually argue that every single scientific paper that's ever been published has a Trojan horse of sorts in the narrative. In other words, something that happens that's a surprise that turns our assumptions on its head, right?
Right, because you've got to have conflict in a story for it to
yes.
be good. Nobody wants to read a story about, hey, there was this person they marry and everything happened the way it needed to happen. It was you need some sort of conflict where suddenly something doesn't happen. There's a fall from grace, or there's a conflict or some sort of enemy that has to be overcome. I mean, that's the stuff of great narrative. No one wants to read three long books about Bilbo sitting at home drinking tea and crumpets.
This is true. This is true. Something has to happen. Change has to occur in order for the reader to better understand him or herself in the greater world around them, right? And mm-hmm. this, I think if you look at pretty much every publication of a paper, there's going to be something within it, even if it's something like in a paper that ended up in Ignoble, right, mm-hmm. which we did a couple of podcasts
there's
on.
There's always a story. Like there's the story of the guy that said, hey, there was a dead duck outside my window. And then another duck came and started copulating with that dead duck. And he had to make sense of it. So there's the study. There's the story. There's the man in encountering a mystery in the world.
Well,
and having to overcome it, having to solve it, having to analyze it.
And learning something from it.
Yes.
Right. So that's what the basis of storytelling is about.
You don't want to learn. You generally, when you engage with a story, you want a character that's going to learn and grow. Or on the opposite, you want a character maybe that doesn't learn and grow, but that's still part and partial to who that person is and getting to know that character.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential and then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So I'm actually thinking about the paper that was published by the kids. We talked about this on How to Think Like a Child. And Bo Lotto, who did the TED Talk about it. And those kids were trying to find out whether or not humans and insects had things in common in terms of the way that they think, the way that they forage, that they organize. Is it possible that insects could have as complex thought processes as humans? And this was the story they were after. And they got their Trojan horse because they found out that these bees were foraging in ways that we had never known before, that were really nuanced. They changed the conditions and they could adapt. And again, you have a story about how, A, we're not that far from the rest of the natural world. In other words, a lot of the blueprint of who we are comes from everything around us, right? That there's something intrinsic to bees that is intrinsic to us.
Right.
And so you get this idea of how the natural world orders itself, but also that kids can think critically. That's the other part of this story that has to do with this published paper. That kids can see through the mind of a scientist and, in fact, do so every day. It is, again, something that is not apart from them. It is underscoring this idea that we are all inherently scientists.
Robert Krulwich, co-host of Radiolab, a great science podcast that we listen to, and I think a number of our listeners listen to as well, he gave a great keynote few years back on the importance of storytelling to the scientific community, which was really, really great talk, really inspiring talk, whether you stand on the inside or outside of a scientific institution. Because he was very much going with this idea of storytelling as a Trojan horse. His whole thing was, if you're a scientist and you're engaging with people, and someone asks you what you do, what are you studying, what's your research consisting of, don't blow them off. Don't just say, you wouldn't understand it. Try and explain it to him, and try to explain it as a story, because narrative is powerful. And if the scientists are not telling a story that makes sense, if they're not telling a story about how the world works, then there are going to be other competing stories out there, stories that stem from myth, stories that stem from religious or spiritual views of the world, stories that stem from just complete internet-generated quackery. We've all received emails like that about how Mars is going to be as big as the moon in the night sky and other such nonsense, about how Satanists in your area are going to kidnap your cat on Halloween. The list goes on and on. But all the quack ideas out there, they already have narratives. And some of these ideas are old. We've been telling some of these stories since the beginning of human history. And so science has to compete with those. So we need science to tell stories. We need to engage with students and with adults, people of all ages, with a science that is wrapped in narrative.
Yeah, and we've talked about how in the past the human storytelling has really revolved around mysticism.
Yes.
And we've defined ourselves in these ways. We think about mysticism more as a creative expression now.
Right.
But there's still a bit of that.
We do, but that cannot be said for everyone in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's still in the cultural fabric. So I think if we can begin to understand ourselves in these different terms as these Euclidean space explorers and looking down at our fingers and realizing that we have ordered an entire world around digits, numbers, then again, we can begin to understand that this is not something that is separate from us.
Yeah, we're born scientists, and that's something we need to cultivate, we need to nurture, and we don't need to learn to be something other than a scientist as we grow. All right, well, on that note, let's call over the robot and get a little bit of listener mail. All right, this one comes to us from Pedro. Pedro writes in and says, "Hey, Julian Robert, I'm a truck driver." We have a number of those, so always nice to hear from the truckers out there. "I'm a truck driver and recently started to listen to your awesome podcast. I literally have listened to most of your podcasts to date in about a week." Wow. Anyhow, I finally got home and wanted to write to you guys and share a little story that popped into mind when I heard the gigantism episode. Julie mentioned on the topic of hissing cockroaches that she thought there might be flying cockroaches. Yes, I grew up in Puerto Rico, and in my native town, Vega Baja, as a teen, I moved to a more isolated part of town near a farm close to the tree line of a jungle-like part of the island. It was in the twilight hours, and my father and I were standing on our porch when something hit me in the face, more like slapped me. My father kidded that it was a bat, which freaked me out enough, but when we turned on a few lights, I was surprised by a whole bunch of huge, disgusting flying cockroaches. Not one of the selling points of my wonderful island. Anyway, I love the podcast, and I'm only disappointed in the fact that I'm almost up to date on them.
All right, so is he saying that these cockroaches are hissing cockroaches with wings?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Okay, because I know about the palmettos.
Mm-hmm. Those suckers can get big, even here in Georgia.
Yeah, but the hissing cockroach, 3 or more inches with wings.
Yeah.
Hissing at you as it comes.
I guess so.
And
unless
lands in your ear canal.
Unless there was a kid out there in the shadows with a slingshot just pelting the porch with these things, but I doubt it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, something to add to the nightmares.
Well, you can certainly add to our nightmares, and you can add to the listeners' nightmares by connecting with us, sharing your stories about your scientific understanding of the world and how you engage in science. And if you're a teacher, we'd love to hear your thoughts on engaging students in science. You can find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Tumblr. We are Stuff to Blow Your Mind on both of those, and you can also seek us out on Twitter, where our handle is Blow the Mind.
And you can drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.